Finrate presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. That's right. This is Finrate, the Toronto Blue Jays podcast here on The Athletic. My name is Drew Fairservice. So excited to talk to you, coming with the midweek edition where me and a guest chatted up about all kinds of interesting things. And this week's guest is really exciting. I'm really excited and to chat with our guest this week. He covers the Cincinnati Reds for The Athletic. His name is Cetron Rosecrans, and he is a great guest, and we had a great chat, and we talk about the Reds, who have a lot of similarities, I think, to the Blue Jays. It's probably worth investigating, digging into some of those similarities. But of course, we talk about Joey Votto, who Trent has been covering his entire career, both of their, almost their entire careers, really written some really interesting stuff, kind of let Joey do Joey's thing and just getting out of the way, also working so hard to contextualize who Joey Votto is, what he's achieved as a big leaguer. Just they have a really interesting professional relationship, and we talk about that, and we talk about all kinds of fun stuff. A fun episode for sure. I got to say, though, before we get any further, when you save 50% on an annual subscription to The Athletic by going to theathletic.com/spinrate, let them know that we sent you. And like I said, get yourself a tidy little deal. You can also subscribe to the show on wherever you get your podcasts. It's all right there. So if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever, just go hook us up, give us a review, check it out. We'll be back on the weekend with Caitlin talking about your Toronto Blue Jays, who have just eked out a victory in the wee small hours in this series against the Baltimore Orioles, the decrepit Baltimore Orioles. And the Blue Jays are looking ahead to bigger and brighter things throughout the rest of the week. Any other thing else? Anything else Blue Jays wise? Anything else I need you to think about? I know Alex Anthopoulos was on the Athletic baseball show. If you want to check that out, he answered some Braves and Blue Jays trivia. Always very exciting. But with no further ado, I, of course, want to get right to it. So it was my pleasure to talk with Cetron Rosecrans of The Athletic. So why don't you go ahead and check that out right now? I don't want to age him, but he's been covering the Reds for a long time. And he's been, I wouldn't say day one Athletic, but day one National Athletic. Does that sound about right?
I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I think we really kind of came out 2000. What was that first year? 18 that I was there. That was kind of, yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. Day one, like National, that was kind of there was a large group of us that came at the same time. Me, Carrig, Gelb, a bunch of others.
Mm-hmm. And well, Toronto was the second kind of pilot site after San Francisco. So Toronto has been around for a little bit longer.
Yes. But,
and how long have you been covering the Reds officially? As again, I'm putting years on your life here.
Well, it always depends, like, you know, on exactly what you count on covering and starts and stops. I've been around the team since 2004, I guess, more daily, starting in 2007. So, I mean, it's representative.
That's a long enough time, no matter where we draw the line. That's a long.
I didn't cover Dummy Hoy, you know, or anything like that.
You don't have any good, you might have some good Chris Sabo stories. I don't know. We could dig in. We can dig into that if we have time today.
Yeah.
But we won't. Why don't we start talking about the Reds? So this is ostensibly a podcast about the Toronto Blue Jays, but also, you know, when I look across and I see the situation that the Reds are in, and I see how they are right there in the wild card race, kind of it's an up and down depending on what they do and what the Padres do. I think that maybe if you haven't been paying enough attention to the National League and you're a Blue Jays fan, this isn't like an accident. Like I feel like the Reds are a team that have made effort and made steps to get better every year. They're not in the middle of a tank. They're not in the middle of a breakdown. They sign, you know, a couple of years ago as Mike Moustakas. They, you know, they acquire Sonny Gray. Like they're a team that is, while not, you know, putting it all, every chip in the middle, they're a team that has made efforts to get better. And maybe here in 2021, we're seeing them achieve a degree of that. Those efforts have come to fruition, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they did do that in like 15, 16 era where they did the teardown and then they built up. This past off season was not the addition mode. They gave away pretty much their closer, Raisel Iglesias, and they've been paying for it ever since. Also Archie Bradley and you know the two back guys of your bullpen, you give away for, I mean, literally nothing. I mean, well, not literally. They got Noe Ramirez back from the Angels. He didn't make it out of spring training, so more or less nothing. And you wonder why your bullpen has faltered. but I mean, if they have those two guys, you know, it could be a much different season. I mean, we're probably talking about the battle with the Brewers right now and not with the Padres. But that said, they have done some things in the last couple of years to try to get better, to improve, and they have gotten better. And, you know, they were a playoff team, albeit in the expanded playoffs, and they didn't score a run in their two games, which is a poor strategy. But, you know, they have been trying to get better, and it's going to be an interesting offseason. You know, Nick Castellanos, the guy that they signed 2 years ago, will likely be a free agent. He had opt-outs after his first 2 years in that four-year contract. And last year wasn't a good time to take that opt-out. This year, it's a really good time to take that opt-out. And, you know, usually if you are a Scott Boras client, and Scott Boras has worked in opt-outs for your contract, pretty good chance that you're going to opt out.
So if not for the additions they made in the offseason, and while, as you pointed out, kind of weakening the bullpen in a way, how did the Reds get here? How is it that we're here on September the 2nd, and they are, you know, flip-flopping in and out of the playoff position? What is it that has really gone right for the Reds this season?
Well, I think you start with the offense. You know, you would hope that the starting pitching would continue, even losing a Trevor Bauer last offseason. That's a whole different ball of wax on many levels. But they lost, let's just say, let's not mention his name, and just say they lost the reigning Cy Young winner. But they still had a solid rotation, and they knew that with Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo at the top. One of the things that happened is that a signing from a year ago that didn't look great, you know, much of this is that going into the 2020 season, those signings where they were really kind of going for it before the pandemic hit. Wade Miley was a guy who was hurt all of last year. And, you know, here he might be by some measures, not just the most valuable. This was probably before yesterday's start, and he did not have a good start yesterday. But he was like the top in National League WAR, I think, at some point on Baseball Reference, which again treats pitchers WAR differently than Fangraphs. But you know, regardless of what minutia you want to get into, Wade Miley's pitched really, really well. There's just no getting beyond that. And then you add a rookie, a guy that they had counted on several years ago, and they had high hopes for. $5 million plus to from Cuba, and Vladimir Gutierrez, who's kind of been developing. He missed all of last year with a PED suspension, but he used that time apparently to really kind of hone in on his craft, and he's been phenomenal. I mean, I'm going to go then to the position players and maybe start with the three rookies, and you know, bridging with Gutierrez as one of the three rookies. They have three rookies that you could consider in rookie of the year consideration, including probably the front runner in the National League and Jonathan India. And India, I mean, he was number five overall pick. So it's not like he was a slouch. You know, it's not like anybody said, oh, this is a surprise that this guy's any good. But he'd been hurt for much of his minor league career. Last year, we didn't see anything for minor leaguers. You know, that's why it's not that surprising to me that we see a bunch of surprise rookies this year, and guys that we were like, oh, I didn't expect much from him, come up because we didn't see a whole year of those guys. And Jonathan India was. And when you talk to the people who saw him at the alternate training site, they spoke really highly of him. Still, it was a surprise when you go into opening or spring training and halfway through spring training, you're like, this guy's going to make the squad and he's going to be their everyday starter at second base, a new position for him. And, you know, he started good, went bad, kind of came back good. And then in June, they put him in the leadoff spot and he's just blossomed there. He's been so phenomenal as this leadoff hitter. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like, he's he's just getting on base, you know, and that's a good thing at the top of the order for the guy that bats the most to make fewer outs is, you know.
Hold on. I'm taking notes furiously here. I know.
This is revolutionary for, you know, when I started in baseball in 2004, but, you know, it's something we all know and we kind of joke around. But yeah, I mean, he's been really good. And then mm-hmm. there's Tyler Stevenson, who is another first round pick who, you know, people hadn't seen for a year, although he did make his debut last year and homered on the first pitch he saw as a big leaguer. So he's a guy that is another talented. He was a high school catcher. Those always take a little bit longer. But he's been playing really well. He's hits really well. He's a mature guy. He's a big dude and you'd think he would be all power, but he's not. He has power, but he doesn't swing for the fences. He's been a very balanced player. And, you know, so much so that when Joey Votto was injured, we might talk about that guy a little bit later.
Maybe if we can find the time.
When Joey Votto was injured, he was playing some first base. The other day, he's playing in the outfield, not in a game, but working out there and could see some time in the outfield. Because he's a good athlete. And they also have a gold glove catcher in Tucker Barnhart that he's splitting time with. And I'm a big believer in catchers and their impact on games. And that's one thing that Tucker Barnhart is very good at. And it helps so many of those guys. I mean, he's caught every one of Wade Miley's starts. And I don't think that's a coincidence. So those young guys. And then you have Jesse Winker, another guy that they drafted and developed. And he is kind of becoming what they expected him to be for a long time. I remember when he was in the minor leagues and Baseball America said future batting champ, Jesse Winker. Well, that could happen. He's currently injured right now, so he's not, you know, doing that right now, but he was an all-star this year. Castellanos was the Castellanos that the Reds hoped they'd signed before 2020, but not the guy that was in 2020. He's been very consistent, very good. Last night, you know, 6 RBI in the first 2 innings, 2 homers and a 2-run homer and a grand slam. And then some fun with his bat being inspected. So a little pine tar incident flashbacks, even though this was not about pine tar. So, you know, you got decent offense, decent starting pitching. That's a good recipe. Now, then why they're in the wild card, not the division race, is the bullpen.
Right. But so would you say that from here on out, is it whether or not they can kind of cobble together a decent enough bullpen? I think that, you know, you're seeing kind of stable performances. Maybe there's, I think about a guy like Aristides Aquino, who kind of came up and was like, I wouldn't say flash in the pan, but had that amazing start to his career. And then has never quite equaled that. Stevenson, yeah. You know, Winker, guys who are, I think you look at the numbers and they make a lot of contact, right? Guys who are hitting well, but not striking out a lot, drawing walks. Like there's a lot to believe in, like if you want to think about high floor sort of thing. So
yeah,
you don't want to count your chickens, but you're like, they've got a lot of talent in the rotation. Their offense is capable of scoring. If they can cobble together some sort of an effective bullpen and maybe the expanded rosters will help, then this is a team that can absolutely continue to figure into the wild card race through the rest of the season.
Yeah, and they made 2 trades at the deadline to help out the bullpen. I mean, they weren't the sexiest trades. They weren't the big names, but they were good, solid guys. I mean, you guys have seen Luis Sessa, who was with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Solid reliever. Middle reliever, you know, can give you more than 3 outs. They got Justin Wilson, the left-hander, who, you know, the Yankees believed in him before the season. He didn't pan out. Honestly, they took his money to get Sessa and Wilson and to give him a change of seater and see if he could work out. And he's been okay. And then Michael Givens, a guy who was a kind of a big name a year ago when the Rockies mm-hmm. made that deal from the Orioles. I mean, these are all AL East guys, so you know all these names. So Givens has come over and been good. So their bullpen is better. It's still, you know, you still don't like to see that door opening. and they had been hoping that TJ Antone, who was just brilliant at the beginning of the season and last year, that he would come back and really solidify it. Well, 5 pitches in to his return, you know, injured, and 3 days later he's getting a second Tommy John, which
oh wow.
Yeah, not great.
Another name, actually, I've noticed picking up some stints in the bullpen, former Blue Jay prospect Jeff Hoffman, who has never really got off the ground as a starter, but maybe has a chance at a second life as a reliever.
Yeah, I mean, and he did some relieving in Colorado the last couple mm-hmm. of years, and that's its own challenge.
Yeah.
But he started the season in the rotation, but he's been pretty good. You know, he's kind of that long man. He hasn't been put in too many high leverage situations, but he's pitched well. I mean, the stuff has always been there, mm-hmm. and a lot of times going into the bullpen is a good way to do it.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate, but first, check this out. So the guy we haven't really talked about, a guy who also you can't attribute all of the resurgence of the Cincinnati Reds in 2021, but a guy who is, of course, having a very, very good season at age 37, of course, is Joey Votto, who went bananas and hit every home run in July and is still here into September riding currently a 141 weighted runs created plus, more than three wins. Just an incredible bounce back season for Joey Votto, which, again, is someone that you are in there having these discussions with every day and getting to know. What have you seen from Joey Votto in 2021 that's a little bit different than maybe what we've seen the last few years?
You know, we really saw this change in 2020. It was in the middle of last season that you could, I mean, it doesn't take much to, you know that you always see those breakdowns and the guy's like, oh, you see he's lifting his foot just like, he's doing the toe tap and just, it's a little bit more. No, it's none of that. It was glaring, you know, because for so many years from say 2015 to the middle of 20, Joey got crouched down, choked up, and would fight off anything that he didn't like. He could spray it all over the place. He could let the ball come in and then turn and do what he needed to do. In 17, he is phenomenal. Just edged out for the MVP. He's called that that season his piece de resistance. He's much better with the French than I am because he's Canadian and
he is.
I am not. So, you know, Joey was able to do that. Well, basically last year he decided that wasn't going to work anymore, that his skills had changed and he still had, you know, in 17, he decided that he didn't want to strike out. And, you know, we look at nowadays when you go, oh my gosh, that guy has more walks than strikeouts. That's phenomenal. In 17, Joey Votto had 50 more walks than strikeouts. That's
crazy.
Yeah, that just doesn't happen anymore.
No,
and he had 36 home runs that year.
He had his strikeout rate was 11% and his walk rate was 19%, which is what? Almost double.
Yeah. I mean, so it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He was ridiculous that year. But kind of in his mind, and this is Joey, and Joey's mind works like nobody else's in the game. Joey decided that, you know what? I'm going to strike out and that's okay. But I'm going to hit the ball hard. And the way he's described, he's going to go back to who he was in 2010. He can't be the 2017 MVP Joey Votto. In his mind, and it's played out, at 37, 38, he could be the 24-year-old rookie or 25, 26-year-old MVP at 2010. He could be that guy again. And he jokes and says, well, yeah, I just decided I wanted to hit home runs, so I'm hitting home runs. And like only Joey Votto can say that, and you go, well, yeah, sure. You
know,
I buy it.
Right. He had a line about he's just up there hacking, or he's just taking hacks now. Yeah. Was that something that he said?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he's not, because he's still Joey Votto. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not just going to hack, but he is going to take his hacks, and he is not, you know, he doesn't miss. And when he does hit it, he's doing damage. He's hitting mm-hmm. the ball hard. And it's just been a blast. And the other part is he's been obviously having fun. You can see it. He is, you know, he was doing the Ted Lasso thing. Do you know about this? Do you watch Ted Lasso?
I've watched the first season of Ted Lasso.
Okay. So David Bell, the Reds manager, is a big fan. And so Joey, because this is just who Joey is, Joey likes to get to know people on more than a surface level, his teammates and those in his orbit. So to get to know David better, he wanted to watch this show. And David was kind of joking about how he was Ted Lasso. And he said, well, Joey, you're like Roy Kent. So Joey watches it and he goes, no, man, I'm not Roy Kent. Roy Kent's old. You know, I'm Jamie Tart. I'm the young phenom. I still am the best. And so, you know, in that first season when Jamie scores and he's like, me, and he points to the back and his whole teammate turns on him. Joey started doing that when he hit home runs. Come in and just go, me. True story. I was told that during that stretch where he hit homers in seven straight games, including two homers in back game, really feel, and one of those home runs, as he was running to first, he hit a home run, and Joey starts singing, Jamie Tart, do, 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 because that's Joey Votto.
That's funny. So, you've joked before that, you know, your job, Joey Votto makes your job easy and you just kind of walk up and you ask him a question, you turn the recorder on and off he goes. I know that's not true.
Oh, no, it's true. It's 100%.
No, I think you're selling yourself short. Now, again, you've been around the team for his whole career.
Yeah.
What has it been like? I mean, I think that the media landscape in 2021 and even in 2005, 2007, 2010 is different, where like you used to hear about, you know, a reporter got invited to a player's wedding. I can't see. Yeah. I would never presume that that's the nature of relationship that you have with Joey Votto, but you've developed a professional relationship with this person by covering him for the bulk of his professional career. What's that? It's obviously been a process. And how would you maybe describe that process?
Well, it starts with, was it 2000? I'm looking here. I have the credential because I have all my credentials saved. And I was going to see the year this is. Yes, 2006 All-Star Game is in Pittsburgh. And for the Reds, they had two players. The big deal was Homer Bailey. He was one of the top prospects in baseball, pitching prospect, a team that had, you know, struggled to find pitching, still has for much of its tenure. I mean, like, even think of the great Reds teams. I mean, who do you think of on the mound of the Big Red Machine? You don't think of who was on the mound. You think of who was in the lineup. So, you know, this is a guy that Homer Bailey had all this hype, and he was coming in. He was throwing 99, 100. Back when that was crazy and you didn't see it every day. And so like I'm there as I'm the backup guy at the Cincinnati Post at this point. And so I'm sent to Pittsburgh. And of course the main story is on Homer Bailey's in the thing. It's like, well,
this is the futures game, right?
This is the futures game. Sorry.
All-Star weekend. Yeah.
Sorry. I missed out left out that very important part. So I'm at the futures game and I do that. And then I'm like, I need a notebook lead. Who's this other kid? Oh, this Canadian is on the world team, first baseman. And so I go over to introduce myself and talk to him, a soft-spoken, polite young man. I mean, he's Canadian. You have no idea how much I love Canada. Like,
Worry, we'll get to that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So I start talking to him. And then, you know, the next year in spring training, I talked to him a little bit more. He comes up at the end of September that year in 07, and you just kind of build this relationship and you start talking. And baseball allows that, both in spring training and, well, in the past, in the clubhouse pregame. It allows you to get to know people. Like, I've covered football too, and I hate it. You know, you go over to, I've literally been in a football locker room and said, hey, you got a couple minutes? And the guy goes, yeah. And like, I asked like three or four questions. I'm like 4 or 5 minutes in. He's like, how much longer is this? And like baseball, you can do 5 minutes where you're just shooting the shit for,
on the right show for that.
Okay, good. Shit, damn hell. So, you know, you're just shooting the shit for 5 minutes before you even start to get your first question and nobody bats an eye. Because you're there every day, you have relationships, you get to know people. I've joked with Tucker Barnhart many times, the Reds' great catcher. I love catchers. I think catchers, they fascinate me. Their job, everything about it. And there's a reason so many managers are former catchers, because they see the whole field. They can talk about hitting. They can talk about, you know, pitching. Everything happens in front of them. They see it all. I love catchers. So I joke sometimes with Tucker, and it's not even a joke. I say, Tucker, during the season, and this again is regular times, before times, Tucker, I talk to you more during the season than I talk to my wife. And it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
I would usually talk to him twice a day. Mm-hmm. I honestly would talk to him before the game and most days after. And even if it was just after the game, like, hey, just of size, like that pitch, you know, that got hit out. What did it miss? It missed a spot, right? What was it supposed to do? And not for like Tucker Barnhart said it missed the spot, but he'd say, yeah, you know, it was supposed to go here and here and here. And it gave you that better understanding, something that we're losing in Zoom that the readers and the listeners and all the fans are losing, which I don't know that they understand that they're losing. That's a different soapbox for a different day. But, you know, those are things that you get to know people. And that's just a long way of saying that over years, you get to know people, especially when a guy is there from 2007 to 2021, those 14 years. I mean, I'm a much different person than I was then. You know, I wasn't married. I didn't have a kid. I was single. I was dumb. I mean, I'm only one of those things now. And it's crazy, but yeah, Joey's been there, and we've just been in the orbit of each other, and we kind of talk, and you just talk like daily about, you know, what's going on the TV, you know, about soccer or basketball or, you know, the new Kanye album, whatever it is, you know, you just have those and you get to know people and you build some trust and you kind of talk. And, you know, they know you. Jesse Winker knows my daughter's name and always asks about her by name. You know, these are things that you take for granted, but that's, people say, well, you're just going out there and asking them what happened in the game. It's not. That's where you get all this other stuff, because you have to build that relationship to get these great, you know, I wrote this one story once. I just asked Joey Votto about his warm-up swing in the batter's circle. And it was this fascinating long thing, you know, and that comes from experience, you know, going to being in Los Angeles. And I waited for an hour after the game, after the bus left, but Joey stayed to take batting practice. And he saw me. He's like, oh, you're still here. You're waiting on me. I didn't realize. It's like, no, it's no big deal. That's where the, you know, the very end of that kicker, of that story. And this is 2019 in April. And he does, yeah, you know, I still bang. Hey, Jesse, I still bang, don't I? You know, and like, so now there's t-shirts. Joey still bangs, you know, and that's where it comes from. And it comes from this long relationship of when I first met this kid when he was 23 and I was 28, you know, and these things change over time, but it is a really important part of just getting to know people and doing your job and doing it well.
And he knows that he can say things to you that are, you know, he's a more thoughtful person than probably I am. I would say that's not a stretch, but he can be frank and he can be kind of let it flow with knowing that you're not going to try to take it out of context and put something that like Joey Votto says and be like, make it seem self-aggrandizing it. You're able to paint a more accurate picture again, so that when the next time comes, he knows he can do that and not get cornered by it.
Yeah, I think most people, that's very true. Hmm. Joey is so thoughtful and so deliberate with what he says that what you're saying is true for most people. I don't know that it's true for Joey, just because Joey is very aware before something comes out of his mouth, for the most part, of how it can be perceived. Now, he had the thing a couple years ago that got a lot of attention in Canada when about the no-hitter. I mean, who was it?
James Paxton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he kind of said something and it kind of caught him off guard that it was interpreted that way. You know, I remember he actually about it afterwards. Like, did you think? And I was like, no, but that's not, I'm not that audience. And so, you know, so that rarely happens with Joey Votto, just because Joey is so thoughtful. And if you watch an interview with him, he is a guy who doesn't start talking right when a question's asked. He stops and will think about it. And you see him processing, and he's not going to say, like so many of us do, the oh, good question, those things, those space savers. He's comfortable in his own skin enough to be silent for a second and think about it. And it's, I mean, it's all part of Joey. My career will never, I will never cover anybody in my career like Joey Votto.
Well, there are so many examples of those stories where you've been able to get and talk with him about things that are not the soup of the day, not the, well, you know, we're going in against the Cubs and I know that Kyle Hendricks has got a good changeup, or it's obviously there's a lot more to it. So if you are an Athletic subscriber, I of course encourage you to go back through Trent's voluminous author page and see how many of these incredible stories you can find. More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors. You've said out loud, you admitted it already, that you love Canada. And as as someone who has been as closely connected to Joey Votto as you have by your own admission, I can only assume you are an expert on all things Canadian and Canadian baseball in general.
Oh, so God, no. I did, however, the other day. I will throw this out there. I did make a donation to the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, they asked for my scorecard from Joey Votto's 2000th hit. And
oh, that's
I
usually
keep it in an iPad. Something happened that day and I actually kept paper. And so I had the paper and sent that in the other day.
Sweet. Check it out in St. Mary's, Ontario, if you've never been, to go check out the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, where you will find Trent's scorecard. But so I'm going to ask you some Canadian baseball questions. Now, these questions were not my own, nor were they producer Cam's. Your colleague, the co-host of this very podcast, Caitlin McGrath, wrote a column recently, Trivia Tuesday.
This is the
second attempt. So she did one that was, I believe the word was diabolical. It was much too difficult. And while we've cribbed a couple questions from there, she did another version that is a little bit more straight ahead. So from there, we're going to ask you some Canadian baseball questions. Number one, in which Canadian province was Hall of Famer Larry Walker born?
British Columbia.
A, Ontario. B, British Columbia. C, Alberta. Or D, Saskatchewan.
British Columbia.
B, British Columbia is correct. Larry Walker from Maple Ridge, British Columbia, just outside of Vancouver.
I thought it might be a trick question that he was born somewhere else. So that was...
It is not. Now, this is one, I think this one's going to be an easy one for you. But I'll put in a follow-up.
Poutine.
In which Canadian province was Hall of Famer or future Hall of Famer Joey Votto born? Is it A, Ontario, B, Quebec, C, British Columbia, or D, Sasnac?
Ontario.
Ontario, and D, Sasnac is not a Canadian province. That is Kansas spelled backwards, which was Cam, the producer, getting one over on me. Do you happen to know the town or the area, the city in which Joey Votto was born?
Was he born? I know it was, I can't. How do I say that? A-T-I-C-H-O-K-B-E. There's that just where he went to high school.
That's where he grew up, in Etobicoke, which is, of course, just outside of
Toronto.
Right? So he was born in Toronto, grew up in Etobicoke, proud graduate of Richview High School, which is right around the corner from where I lived for many, many years.
My friend lived right around in that area too. And so I spent some time at a friend's house there.
It's a bunch of guys I play in men's league with are all around the same vintage as Joey Votto, and they remember playing with and against him kind of coming
really
up, which is pretty fun, because it's, I know we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, and not, like, for a high school baseball player from Toronto to get drafted in the second round is crazy. And while, you know, they're especially in the infancy of those sort of travel, you know, big high level travel teams, I don't even know if Joey, I think he played for the Ontario Blue Jays, but I don't know for sure. But like, that's a serious accomplishment, because the weather sucks. The competition is not super great. You know, there are a lot of good ball players from here, but to just get drafted right out of high school in the second round is just crazy.
Well, and he was in Dayton. He got demoted back to Billings at one point because he just wasn't ready. You know, he jokes that at his showcase at, I guess it would have been Synergy Field at the time. he was loved it. I threw him a changeup. This guy threw him a changeup, and he swung on it like it was a fastball and just blasted it. And like, if the guy, he's like, if he would have thrown me a fastball, I wouldn't have gone near it. And so he's like, the guy gave me, like, I got in the second round because of this. I did a podcast a couple years ago. I did a podcast series when I was at the Cincinnati Enquirer, and it was kind of about minor league life and coming through, and Shed Long, who plays for the Mariners now, I kind of followed Shed throughout and used Shed as a jumping off point for a lot of other stories. And one of the stories I told was about the draft. And there's a lot of Joey Votto draft stories in that. It was called the podcast called Great American Dream. It would have been somewhere in the middle because I timed it for around the draft, and just some fantastic stories about his workout, being a Canadian kid, how it was different. You know, the Reds were on him pretty heavy. And this is a story I'm just going to kind of remember a little bit of. So they're in somewhere in Canada at one of these showcase events or whatever, and the Reds have like four or five scouts there, and there's one Blue Jay scout, and they're like, oh crap, we can't tip our hand that we really like this Votto guy. So the scouting director turns to somebody else and says, hey, go to your car, get your radar gun, and point it and look like you're trying to scout the kid warming up. So there's some kid warming up throwing like 78 that like three scouts are around with a radar gun that probably thinks he's like, oh my God, I'm going to get drafted. But all it was they wanted to try to like camouflage that they were that interested in Joey Votto.
That's amazing. That's a great story. Hopefully we can find a link to that. And
I can probably try to find that because it is great to hear from Joey, to hear from some of the scouts. I had one of the scouts that was there tell me about it. It was really cool. And there's some great Joey Votto stuff in there, as you would expect.
I would expect that. Next question. We'll keep moving. We've only got a couple
sorry,
more here.
Sorry.
No, this is great. But this is now, I think we're getting into the more challenging questions here. Which Canadian pitcher has appeared in the most Major League Baseball games? Is it A, Fergie Jenkins, B, Real Cormier, C, Paul Quantrill, or D, Ryan Dempster?
Cormier, nice guy. I shared a cab with him when he was with the Reds and we were going to Wrigley Field and we talked about hockey. He was a Canadiens fan, of course. I am as well. So we chatted about that. My first thought was Fergie Jenkins, but I'm going to go with Dempster because of relief appearances. And this was about, was it appearances that you asked?
It was appearances. Yeah. Most games.
So most games. So that's where I'm going to go. Dempster.
The answer is actually C, Paul Quantrill.
Paul Quantrill, same kind of thought, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Who's Paul, whose son Cal is having a great season in the National League. But Paul pitched for 14 seasons with 7 teams. He appeared in 841 big league games. That's a lot of innings. That's a lot of times getting hot. Question number 4. How many Canadian pitchers have thrown a no-hitter in Major League Baseball history? Is it A3? B4, C2, or D7. This is going to be a shot in the dark.
4.
I could not have answered this question in my entire life.
Yeah, I'm just guessing 4. I don't know.
The answer is, in fact, 2, which is C. In 1945, household name Dick Fowler of the Philadelphia A's threw the first no-hitter by a Canadian. And then in 2018, for the second time in this podcast, James Paxton threw a no-hitter for Seattle against Toronto at the Rogers Center. So here's the last one. Maybe you may have written about this factoid once or twice before. Starting play on Monday, so even though this is today, Thursday, Joey Votto had 323 career home runs with the Cincinnati Reds. How many different pitchers has Votto hit a home run off? Is it A, 275, B, 303, C, 199, or D, 255?
I'm going to go the 75 or the 55. I'm going to go 255.
You are correct. That's pretty good. That's not bad at all. Joey Votto has hit a home run off of 255 different starters. He has victimized Adam Wainwright and Kyle Hendricks 4 times apiece.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't like a huge number, but I would have probably guessed Wainwright would have been my guess.
That was pre-Cyborg, Renaissance man, Adam Wainwright, coming out of the swamp at 40, like some kind of monster. Sir, I don't want to take any more of your time. I really appreciate this chat. It was really great. Why don't you let the people know where they can find you on social? And if you got something coming up, maybe that you want to plug as well here on The Athletic.
I wish I did. I've been trying to get Joey lately because I'm always trying to get Joey. But at C Trent, I'm on Twitters. I'm at The Athletic for the other stuff. I sent Cam a link to that podcast I did, that episode. It was episode 5. Just, you know, keep on reading The Athletic, subscribe, rate, review. What? No, those are podcasts we rate and review.
They can do that for this show.
You can do that for this show. I think that's what I want. Perfect. I want to rate and review this show. And then, yeah, Twitter, C Trent, if you want occasional, like Joey Votto, just stuff like last night. So here's a quick story. Last night, he didn't really do anything in the doubleheader. I mean, nothing of note or whatever. You know, we're waiting for starting pitcher to get on Zoom because we're still all Zooms. Nick Castellanos, who had Grand Slam and had his bat checked, Pintar stuff, or Pintar game-ish, not actual Pintar. So we're all there, and like we're waiting for the first person to come in. It's usually the starting pitcher. We knew it was probably going to be Sonny Gray. In comes Joey. He's like, hey, I played in 2 games. I can talk about stuff. And it was just like, apparently Joey just wanted to come in. And you know, we talked about the series. You know, they dropped 2 of 3 to the Cardinals, and they lost the wild card lead and went back in with the thing. And he's like, hey, you know, if it's European football, we win on aggregate. Because they won 12-2 last night.
There you go.
In the second game. And it's just, you know, just one of those. It's like quick. Yep, there's Joey. And like, I don't know this, but I think he had just thought about that and was like, I want to drop that in. So he just jumped in because he's Joe.
I know that. I know that impulse. When you got a good line, you know, it needs an audience, right?
Yeah. And he was just like, I'm not going to waste this. And he had, you know, a t-shirt that was something, it was a reference of Kanye dissing Drake or something. I don't understand these things. I'm not the target audience. Drake to me is still Jimmy from Degrassi. Yeah,
that's entirely fair. Well, again, it's been a real pleasure to chat with you. Joey Votto will be happy to know that I am going to a Canada World Cup qualifier this evening.
Awesome.
So, Canada is hosting Honduras this evening, and I'm excited to go. And I've been excited to chat with you. So thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And thank you, everybody. Yeah. And we'll have to do it again. And I hope that the Reds give you something to write about and keep you and Reds fans entertained here throughout September and into October.
Yeah, we're going to need more Canadians. Always more Canadians.
Never
always
enough.
On the lookout for Canadians. Like I'm really excited. I'll be in Cooperstown next week and for Larry Walker. And I was always a huge, huge Larry Walker proponent. That I was so excited about Larry Walker, and I didn't know this isn't, yeah, whatever. I'm just excited to be in Cooperstown for Larry Walker's induction because he's a guy I stumped for quite a bit just because I'm going along, but I
no, it's great.
I have I don't know if we do this video or not. I know you and I are talking video. So my Hall of Fame voting, I have a notebook that I use every year, and my kind of thing is basically I rank everybody just 1 through, say, 15 or whatever it is, and then I draw a line at 10. More or less. Most years I've done that. And actually that's a bad year to make this point, because that's my first year, you know. And basically I just rank them and draw a line and say most of the time it's been 10 guys and I'll do it. Well, here's one. And so I've always had Larry Walker so much higher than anybody else. So this is 17. So Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, 1-2. I think that's the thing.
You won't get much argument here.
Bagwell, Schilling, Reigns, Walker. But like you go through and like 18 or 19, 19, you'll see like it's, oh, that's returning, not the actual. It's Bonds, Clemens, Schilling, Walker, Jeter. That was my ballot that year. And I had Walker above Jeter.
You got Roland on there too. So that's a good ballot in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
This is a Scott Rowland space.
Yeah, no. Scotty Rowland. You want to talk about all-time characters. Oh my God. Just unbelievable. The weird thing about Scott Rowland, and sorry, I'm rambling.
It's your time. I mean
Scott Rowland is deceptively large.
Oh yeah, that way we used to joke about him online, calling him the Man Mountain, like just like an enormous huge.
Because like on dude. TV, he didn't look big.
Yeah,
and they're just this huge dude. The driest sense of humor in the world, and just a hilarious dude, and former University of Georgia basketball signee. He signed to play basketball at the University of Georgia, my alma mater.
That's awesome. I know he used to have get a lot of stuff with Adam Lind when they played here together, because Adam Lind had won Mr. Baseball in Indiana and Scott Rowland didn't. So Lind would always just be like chirping him all the time because he got it and Rowland didn't.
And then University of Kentucky, it was him or was it Jeff Shepard was the guy that they signed, because he was like, yeah, they only had spot for like one dude who couldn't jump who could shoot. And they picked Shepard, and so I signed with UGA. So there you go. Awesome. Scott Rowland.
You touched all the bases. We got Larry Walker, Scott Rowland, Joey Votto. This is a classic. This is
instant. Yeah. Like what's your other pet? Cause I'll probably hit it. Cause I love,
I had to strike Michael Lorenzen from the record because I didn't think we had time. Cause I would love to talk about him, because I really appreciate him being honest about how much he like appreciates Shohei Ohtani. Because, like not like the kind of, well, you know, he's great what he's doing and yeah. But he seems like he's like enthusiastic about it. Like he's like, hell yes, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. No, he loves it. And he's like, I wish, and like Michael is a guy who's very confident in what he does. Mm-hmm. But I think even he says, like, what he's doing is crazy. And like, I can't do that. And Michael believes he can do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But like Shohei Ohtani, he understands that he's just a different level than anybody. And like Lorenzen has a unique, back in the last couple of years, it would never fail. Like every 2 months, a different Japanese reporter would come to the Reds and do a Michael Lorenzen Shohei Ohtani story. And Lorenzen was great about it every single time. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then he gave up that massive home run he gave up two home runs to Ohtani in spring training, right? One was a little cheapy and one was the opposite.
Yeah. But Lorenzen's he could hit one off Ohtani.
No doubt.
Which is the crazy thing.
Yeah.
And he's Lorenzen's a better defender.
Fair enough. I believe it. On the mound and in the outfield.
Yeah, I would love to see them in a foot race too.
Really? The Baseball America, they had Shohei Ohtani as the fastest runner in the American League.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Dude's unreal.
Lorenzen can go too.
Lorenzen can go. And awesome. Lorenzen is just a special athlete. And he's unbelievable. I had an editor cut a line from me once that he had like negative body fat. They're like, that's a little bit much.
What? That's wild.
But it's true.
All right. Trent, thank you really so much for your time. No, yeah, no. You got stuff to do. You got kids to pick up. You got work to do. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, no problem, Drew. Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Awesome. And we'll talk to everybody on the next edition this coming weekend. That was good.